We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Report is brought to you by Winters Brothers Waste Systems. Conveniently, rent a dumpster online at wintersbros.com. Long Island's number one choice for waste removal, wintersbros.com. And by Tushy, the modern bidet. Brian, how are you?
What's up, Brian?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Oh, how could we be doing bad? I'm still evolving. I'm trying to evolve as a person right now.
Yeah, you okay. May have missed that, Brian.
You didn't hear our last caller who said I need to evolve as a person and not root for the Jets anymore after all these years.
Oh, dude, that's terrible. Come on.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, you know, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, yeah. Believe me, I stopped evolving about 10 years ago. So,
Brian, I got to admit. All right, I was a little mad. Isn't the right word? I'd say a little perturbed at you. Okay, and I didn't want to text you about it because I figured let me be perturbed on the air. Like, why would I text you about it privately? Like, well, why would I do something like that? And it was the idea that, and you could defend yourself now and say I took it wrong, and that's fine. But it was the idea that Le'Veon Bell doesn't want to be here. He's liking tweets. He hasn't been productive. Get him the hell out of here. Without realizing that, yes, he has been a failure, but Adam Gase is a bigger failure and probably part of the reason why Le'Veon's got to get the Bell out of here. So that was the problem. And I took it as get rid of Le'Veon when all of these problems, including this one, really start with the head coach.
Yeah, I acknowledge that Adam's a huge part of the problem with Le'Veon. I mean, I wasn't excusing him from his role in this. I think my point in that column was more, if Le'Veon doesn't want to be here, he wasn't part of the plan for next year, no matter what, right? Can we agree on that?
Like, right.
His contract, look at his contract. It was a two-year contract. They were going to get rid of him after this year, borrowing some miraculous season this year. So I just kind of felt like, you know, after seeing Michael Pirine not play Sunday, which is on the head coach as well, but he runs out of excuses on that if Le'Veon's gone. You know, Pirine has to play now. I feel like they just have to get Pirine on the field, see what they have there. I feel like the rest of the season is all about 2021 and seeing who's going to be part of this team going forward and who isn't. And Le'Veon, I think that we already had figured out he wasn't going to be part of it. And then he's starting to, you know, like tweets and all this stuff, and he clearly didn't want to be here anymore. So, you know, give him what he wants and get rid of him. That was my point. My point wasn't meant to excuse Gase's role in it. You know, when we look at the failure of Le'Veon here, I think it's three-pronged. I think part of it is the offensive line is really bad. And this year is hard to evaluate, guys, because he only played 1.5 games. So it's more about last year. So I thought Sunday he actually played one of his best games, and the line gave him some holes. But last year there were no holes. The second part of that is Gase. I'm not as big on he didn't use him properly, or he didn't, you know, use him as a receiver as much. My one thing is I don't think Gase ever got over it when he didn't want him and McCaslin signed him. And I think he never embraced the guy. Ugh, he never sat down and said, this guy is a, you know, has been a special football player, and I need to figure out, you know, how to get the most out of him. I don't think he ever did that. I think he resented the fact that he had to have him on his team. So that's the second part. And the third part is on Le'Veon, because I don't think he was the same guy that he was in Pittsburgh. I don't, you know, look like he lost a step to me. Now, if he goes to Kansas City, he's going to look a hell of a lot better than the Jets because he's going to have a better football team around him. I don't think he's ever going to be 1,200 yards a year guy, that guy we saw in 2015, but he'll look a hell of a lot better there than he did here. You know, and I think Le'Veon kind of got out of shape last season. I think that was part of the problem. So, you know, there's a lot of blame to go around in that. I wasn't trying to see Adam Gase's role with that column, though.
You know, Le'Veon to me is the quintessential, example of the total dysfunction of this franchise. Because here you have a guy that is signed by the general manager, the head coach, who the general manager hopped higher, doesn't want him. The general manager then eventually gets canned after he signs Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the quintessential dysfunctional franchise. I mean, and he is a poster child for that, as far as I'm concerned, Brian.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But the only thing I'll say is I think they have moved past that. I know releasing him was kind of accentuated the dysfunction. But I don't think Joe Douglas was part of that dysfunction, Joe.
He wasn't, but still.
The jury's out on Joe Douglas. I'm not saying
he's
great or anything. I'm just saying he wasn't to blame for the dysfunction of all this. So I do think you're right. And obviously, the idea that they let Mike Maccagnan hire a head coach, they let him spend $130 million, and then they let him run a draft, and then they fired him a few weeks after that is insane, and it always will be to me. That was a huge mistake by Christopher Johnson, and it set the franchise back because last year was a lost season. Joe Douglas coming in June, he really couldn't do anything, and Gase resented all the guys that Maccagnan signed. This year they've been paying for it still to some degree. So, you know, I think the only word of encouragement I can say is you have to hope. You know that when they reset it in 2021, and I know this is like the 10th reset in the last 5 years that they get it right this time. I can't assure you that they will, but you know, I do think you're right. There's the dysfunction is there from 2019. I don't necessarily think they're dysfunctional right now. They're just a really bad football team.
Well, okay. So this is what bothers me. You know, when guys get hurt, I get frustrated. Joe gets angry, especially when we're talking about these draft picks.
Oh,
Denzel
my, what a
Mims.
Disgrace. But we got to get to that, by the way.
But here's what kills me, and I think Met fans and Yankee fans know about this from experience. It's when injuries are mishandled. That's when you really get upset. You know, Aaron Judge is playing with an injury, and no one basically knew it existed until February. That's going to take Yankee fans off. Met fans know full well.
Yeah, Ryan Church getting on a plane.
Church getting on a plane. Thank you, Brian. What is going on with Mekhi Becton? Because why was he active? And I know this goes back to Thursday night, but I'm going to bring it up from two weeks ago because he's still not ready to play. Was that stupidity a major setback right now for Mekhi Becton?
Yeah, it seemed like it was because he's missed two games now. And so, you know, they thought he was good enough that he could possibly play 2 weeks ago, and now he can't play at all for 2 weeks. It looks like a setback. You know, I understood having him active because there was some roster maneuvering there, and you have to have a certain number of linemen active these days to have a 48-man roster. So I understood having him active, but he should have just never been on the field. Like, they should have never played him. And I really, that decision puzzles me, and that decision isn't on one person. It's on Adam Gase, it's on Joe Douglas, it's on Christopher Johnson, it's on the training staff, it's on all of them. They all have to wear it. This guy is the only thing good about your franchise through the first few games, and you put him on the field. And they said they weren't risking further injury, but it looks like the guy can't get back on the field. So I don't know whether I believe them on that. You know, from what everything I've heard about the injury, it's a capsule issue in his shoulder, which can result in a tear in there. They say that there's not a tear. That is a strength issue for him right now, strength and pain tolerance. And, you know, they're kind of waiting for him to come back. But, you know, he's out there every day running sprints. He doesn't look very happy at 370 pounds running sprints on a side field. So, you know, I think that one's fair, Evan. I think that one is, you know, it looks like they screwed up there.
And he's not playing Sunday, so you're basically telling me he's out Sunday as well, right?
I mean, he didn't practice today, Joe. If he didn't practice Thursday, you don't play Sunday. So I would think he's out.
What about the great wide receiver? What about him? The only wide receiver in the draft that can't get on the field while all these other guys are thriving. How about him?
He's not practicing. Yesterday was the first time he took a rep with the Jets offense. So So the first time since he's been here. So, you know, you hear he's not practicing, and I think fans are like, okay, is he playing Sunday against Miami? He's not going to play Sunday. Like, it's going to take a little while for this guy to catch up.
But what's a little while? I mean, next year? Well, I mean, tell me, what?
A little while.
I mean, I got to watch all these. I got to watch Chase Claypool, okay, who they should have picked. Okay, let's be honest. Yeah. You know, the brilliant general manager decides he's going to trade down when he could have easily took this guy. And look what the deal is here. I mean, come on. It's a disgrace.
I would think you'd see him against the Chiefs in 2 weeks. I think that's reasonable. They have 21 days to activate him from yesterday. I think the Chiefs game is probably when you'll see Denzel Mims on the field.
Great.
And so, is it fair to expect that LaMichael Perron will have an active role in this offense on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. If he doesn't, then, you know.
Then what? Then what?
You know what? It's another waste of a fourth round pick. There you go.
Another wasted draft choice. I won't call him a waste in October, but not yet. That's on the coach. That's on the coach. That's on the kid if he doesn't play.
No, it's on the coach.
Of course it's on the coach. Of course.
You know, he's got to play a ton, and I don't see how he can't. I mean, you know, Gase admitted yesterday, 34 has a number of reps that he can play in a game, and they're not going to go past that at 37 years old. So the whole idea, I think, of saying goodbye to Le'Veon is to make sure this kid gets on the field and you figure out what he is. And you figure out if he could be, you know, something you can count on for the next few years.
What about the great third round pick, the greatest third round pick of all time? Another complete waste of a draft choice.
He played Sunday, so he played against Arizona.
Great.
And they worked him in a little bit on defense, so I think you'll see him.
Great.
Your favorite player.
Well, it was a waste of a third round pick. I mean, basically, right now, I look at the draft. The entire draft was a waste. When am I going to see Becton again? Am I ever going to see the guy from Florida at the pass rusher? What's his deal? Where's he hiding?
He's practicing as well, but I think he's similar to Mims. He's gonna, you know, they got to wait a little while.
Of course,
he can probably play next week.
We got to wait a little while, Ev. I'm watching these guys all over the league playing third round picks, fourth round. They're all over the place.
But in fairness,
we got nothing.
Though, Joe, in fairness, you know, you're being very disrespectful to Braden Mann. Okay, they
did. I'm sorry. That's right. I forgot the punter is playing. God bless him.
The punter is playing.
The seventh round pick is our best. Our seventh round pick is the best draft choice we got.
That could look very good in the first two games.
Great.
Right.
Art Shell comes to mind. I know.
You know, you said.
I want to see these guys play.
I know.
We got the worst drafts in the last 10. We got no draft picks. Okay, even the quarterback now is going to be gone.
Yeah.
All right. And I mean, this Joe Douglas. All I hear is he did this in Baltimore. He did this in Philadelphia. And I got nobody. I got nothing. I got no young players. I can't stand
Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams was a good pick.
Where's he? Jamal Adams. Yeah, do you really? I love you, bro. You bring up Jamal Adams?
I was doing it to tweak you. I'm not
tweak me.
He's a tweaking right now, Brian. Yes.
I still haven't given the jersey to Salvation Army yet. The blood is not dry yet here.
Stick with the Namath jersey, Joe. That's always my advice.
Believe me, that's all I have now is my throwbacks. Don Maynard, Al Toon, Wesley Walker. That is what I have. DeBrickashaw, Mangold, Curtis Martin. These are the guys. What else can I do?
Yep.
Revis.
I mean, look, here's the silver lining I'll give you on the draft. Look, you're a long way away from knowing what these guys are. But in terms of the injuries, none of them have suffered season-ending injuries. I do think you're going to get a chance to see these guys play over the second half of the season. I think Mims is coming back soon. Uniga is there. Davis is playing already. I don't know. Bryce Hall, I think, will be ready in the second half. And I forgot about him, Bryce Hall.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah. So, you know, I think you'll see more of the younger guys, in November and December.
Well, speaking of November and December, and we touched on this the other day, you kind of referred to it too. If a guy is not going to be on this roster long term, I would trade him. I would try to get as many assets back as you can get.
Absolutely.
How many guys on this roster, and personally, and Joe and I agree on this, Jamison Crowder doesn't fit that because I would want him for the new quarterback next year, and I'll likely hit Trevor Lawrence. But do you look at some valuable pieces that may be moved before the trade deadline that could at least get them back some more draft capital?
No, I don't think they have valuable pieces. I think Crowder's one, but you're right. I would try to hold on to him. Yeah, I guess they could shop Quinnen Williams, but you know,
hold on. They're gonna quit. This is the one guy I wanted to see on a team. Now we're gonna get rid of him.
That's the problem. No, I don't think they will. I'm just saying. It's the problem. Here's the problem, guys.
We will have no draft choices ever. Like they'll be only franchise in the history of football if they go 10 straight years and like have nobody on drafts at all.
I don't think they're going to trade Quinnen Williams. But you're asking me if they have anyone on the team who would be attractive to other teams.
Oh.
He's one guy I can think of. I can't think of many, though, Evan, that would have any trade.
You don't think a team would fall all over themselves to trade for Pierre Desir?
Come on. He had a big game against the Broncos, right? He got burned four times.
He had the most awful good game in the history of football, Pierre Desir.
Right. He got burned four times. Oh my God.
That's what he had.
What can they get for Sam Darnold? Who, by the way, is another guy that isn't on the field either. What can they get for this guy? Let's be real about it.
You talk about before the draft next year?
Yes.
I think you look at the Rosen package with a 2 and a 5, I think Arizona got. I think you could get that for Sam. I think that's something similar. I heard somebody talking the other day, you know, could they get a late first round pick? Like if there's a team drafting in the second half of the first round and needs a cornerback, you know, maybe. But I think a first round right now, it's going to depend on what it looks like the rest of the year, probably. But I think right now you would expect to get a second round pick and then something else for him.
How far away is he? I mean, when are we going to see this guy play now?
Yeah, I think there's a chance he'll play next week. I was watching him today. He was throwing on the side field. He wasn't putting much on it. He was, you know, it was pretty light throwing. But, I kind of thought this would be a 2-game absence, so we'll see where he is next week.
By the way, with all the craziness with the schedule, who do they play next week? Buffalo? I don't even know.
Buffalo. Yeah.
Buffalo.
So goes, yeah.
Buffalo at home.
After the Dolphins, they get Buffalo at Kansas City and then New England on Monday night.
and then the bye week and then and at that point probably the firing of Adam Gase.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, if they're 0-9 and, you know, I'm sure Belichick is going to Why wouldn't he?
Belichick, you know, like the Jets are so bad that Belichick could actually start Brian Hoyer and still win the game. I mean, that's how bad the Jets are.
They
are the one team in football that could lose to the worst quarterback that ever put on a pair of cleats.
Well, if Brett Rippon could beat them, yeah, Brian Hoyer could beat them.
Exactly. Brett Rippon is better. I mean, wait, come on. Brian Hoyer is the worst quarterback of all time.
Brian.
Right? Am I right? Yeah. Brian Hoyer. Let me tell you right now. Seriously, if Brian Hoyer starts against the Jets and you need a quarterback in fantasy, get Brian Hoyer.
Start him.
Brian Hoyer will have his career game if he is the quarterback against the Jets.
The thing about Brian Hoyer, that's it. The reason why, like, is he the worst quarterback in the history of football? There are probably terrible quarterbacks who only play once or twice, so we never get to see the terribleness.
Right. Well, Ryan Leaf, guys like this.
Right. That's why Brian Hoyer, you know, is very special, because he continues to get opportunities to play every once in a while.
It's unbelievable.
To remind us of his awfulness.
I give Rick Meyer the edge. I do. Speaking of brutal quarterbacks, I do give Rick Meyer the edge. Brian, and I don't give Doug Johnson the edge, though.
Brian, last week you were very, very optimistic. Your final score was 27-23. I was more accurate. I had a 27-9. I almost nailed it.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I could be dead. I'm going to probably look like an ass for saying this. I think the Jets are going to play the Dolphins tight this week.
Do you?
And I think they're going to lose this game 20-16.
Wow.
So that's my prediction.
I don't know what to think of this game. I have no idea.
I'm going to go, I think the Dolphins will win 24-13,
Evan.
24-13. Okay.
You can't see, like, Fitzpatrick just lighting them up for, like a 5-touchdown day?
I could yell, but he did that last week. And, you know, Fitz usually only does that 1 week, and then the next week, you know, sometimes he goes all the way the other way and throws, as you guys know, throws plenty of interceptions.
Well, we know.
I'm not sure if he's going to light them up. I think it'll be more. Just
and also, keep this in mind, Joe. This is the first of two meetings potentially between Fitzpatrick and the Jets. So he could save that for the second meeting.
Right.
That's when it may occur.
Right. Well, they're a big number. They're 8-point favorites in this game. So
I think it's 9.5 now.
Oh, did it go up to 9.5 now?
Yeah, I think it's 9.5. It's been going
well,
up.
Well, keep this in mind. I'm going to give you a stat. I read it this morning. Actually, I saw it asked to Joe Flacco, and he said, "Don't bring it up," because he didn't want to jinx. But Flacco is 6-0 against the Dolphins.
Oh, is that right?
How about that?
Yeah. And one thing we have seen, and
he was on a pretty good team, man.
Well,
yes.
They are the complete opposite. They are of the complete antithesis of the Jets, the Ravens.
There's no doubt
about it. I will say one thing, though. The Jet-Dolphin rivalry, many, many times the Jets actually would have four wins, and one of the four would be Miami when Miami was good. You know,
right.
So,
yeah.
That's one thing. I mean, it is it's kind of a crazy rivalry, Jets-Dolphin.
They are a candidate to win this game. Like, I'm not
betting I'll give them
it,
a shot.
I'm not confident. But
I give them a 20% shot to win.
Yeah, they have a higher percentage shot to win this game than probably the rest of the games on their schedule
right. Outside
of the other game against Miami.
Outside of Miami, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
outside of that. Brian,
yeah, I would agree with that.
We appreciate it. Thanks as always, man.
Brian,
right,
it's always
guys.
A pleasure, Brian. Send my best to everybody over at Florida.
I will. Hang in there, guys.
Yeah, we're hanging.
Hanging on.
Hey,
right.
Bob, Shelly, Bob.
I'm trying to spin right now. I'm see if I can spin a little bit.
All right. Take care,
thank
guys.
You, Brian.
See you, Brian.
Brian Costello on the Jets. Now, we are lucky enough in this town to have another 0-5 football team. Now, this 0-5 football team has actually come close to winning games, though.
They have come close.
They have shown a pulse. And quite frankly, this 0-5 team better win on Sunday.
Yes, yes.
They better win.
Should I take the Giants in a knockout pool?
Wow.
You know what? You know, I've got a little dilemma here, okay? Here's my dilemma, okay? The two teams I want to take in a knockout pool, I can't take both of them the same week because they're both on the same side of the ledger because I've used both of them already, but they're on the same side of the ledger, so I can't use them both of them this week again. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I gotcha. I gotcha. Yeah. Well, I'll say this about the Giants.
Because I was actually thinking about the Giants this week. Because when am I using the Giants?
Well, that's the thing. And we're going to talk to Tino about this team coming up. But the Giants, like I just said this about the Jets, that when you look at their schedule, if the wins are coming, no offense to the Dolphins, but just based on the rivalry, divisional game, like it would be against the Dolphins.
Right, right.
I look at the Giants' schedule, and while I think they'll win a few games, these are the games.
Right, right. This is a game you got to. If the Giants are going to win a number of games this year, a few games, this has got to be one of them.
Well, because if you look at the Giants schedule, and it's not as daunting as the Jets, but there's a lot of games you look at and say, ah, are they winning that game? Now, there's a few more on the schedule that you like they have a home game against the Cardinals. Can they win that game? Sure.
Maybe.
I don't know how good the Cardinals are.
Maybe, right.
You know, even
maybe.
The two games against the Eagles with the way they've played.
Right.
They go to Cincinnati. That certainly feels like a winnable game.
Maybe.
But they also go to Seattle. That doesn't feel
right.
like a winnable game.
Right.
They also play the Buccaneers. That doesn't feel that winnable.
No. Where is that game? That's home, isn't it?
That is at home. That's a Monday night, which is cool. I'm actually looking forward to that.
That's an interesting game. I still don't know how good the Bucs are, honestly.
No,
I know they're
3-2.
How good are they really? I mean, I don't know that, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you, the more I look at this schedule, the more I see a few wins for the Giants.
Yeah. Well, but this better be one of them, starting Sunday.
It better. If they don't win on Sunday, then I think the Giant fan will come out more forcefully talking about 0-16.
Yeah. What's the line on that? What are they, 3.5?
Three.
2.5. Is it 2.5?
I saw it at 3, but it's probably fluctuating between that, like 2.5, 3,
right.
3.5
right.
in that range.
Right.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.